this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, quote, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So as I was studying this and thinking about it and praying about it, that's the reason I felt like we should just let Jess and Collins kind of run the service and really hear more from them. Because basically what Jesus is saying here, verse 1, the disciples asked him a question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And if you actually cross-reference this story into some of the other gospels, Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, both of those accounts say the disciples were arguing among themselves who were going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so there's this kind of elbowing going on. There's this kind of like pushing one another out of the way. Who's going to be the greatest? I think I'm going to be the greatest. No, I think I'm going to be the greatest. Jesus is going to have me as his right-hand man when he comes into his, full kingdom authority. And so they're kind of jockeying for position, so to speak. And Jesus completely turns the tables on them in terms of the kingdom of God priorities from God's perspective. So Jesus brings a little child to them, sets him in the midst, and says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted..." See, we're not naturally like this. We're not natural. Now, when Jesus is talking, by the way, about children, he's using the children kind of as a prop to make a different point. He's not necessarily talking about children. He's using children as a prop to talk about the idea of humility and the idea of, basically being low on the totem pole. Not being the big dog. Not being the top guy. Not being the top honcho. One other account, and I think it's in Mark's gospel, Jesus said, "Among you, the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all." And so he totally turns this upside down. So the values, God's value for people, and God esteems those that are humble, those that are lowly. And we need to basically be converted and instead of jockeying for the top position, be jockeying for the lower position. That's really what Jesus is saying. Okay? It's totally countercultural. And I just thought about these guys and the people that they serve. They serve, as far as people on planet Earth, all 7 billion plus people, they serve the lowest of that group of over 7 billion people. Is it 7 billion? Is it 8 billion? I don't know. It's over 7 billion last I heard. Close to 9. Where have I been lately? I don't know. It's close to 9 billion. They serve people that literally don't have clean water to drink. Something you and I take for granted so much, they don't have in this part of the world. And these guys are laying down their life and doing amazing things to serve those people. So we open our hearts to you guys. We love you. I know this is, this is your home church. And I want you to take your liberties and give us an update on the work and your family. And my wife's got some gifts over there she wants to give you. We want to pray for you. So we want you to give to us an update on what's going on, but we also want to be a blessing to you guys before you push out of town. So give them a big hand. Love them big time.
Good morning, church. It's so exciting to be back to Richville Christian Fellowship. We've been going around to several churches. We're here on the first Sunday that we're here, and you know, going around to other churches, it feels great to be back to Richville, because this is the church that makes us do what we do in Uganda, and if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do it. And so even when you aren't able to go to Uganda and visit us, or you know, like, we are able to do and reach those people because of you. So really, we can't take that for granted. We have a few pictures that we're gonna share with you, and a video. So, and then we'll also ask you if you have a question that you may want to, you know, ask us. As Pastor Mike said, we are family and would like to make it more like, you know, open. You know, if you have something that you want to ask, this is the chance. On Wednesday, we'll be heading back to the field.
When we were here a couple weeks ago, we put these on everybody's seats. If there's anybody here today that didn't get one of these, we would love to share one of our family pictures with you. It is an adorable photo. I still am convinced of it. Is there anybody that didn't get one of these that would like one? Okay, yeah, sure. And then we're also going to send around this clipboard. And if you would like to receive an email update from us, if you could put your email address on here as legibly as possible, we would be deeply appreciative. And for those of you that know us well and support us and maybe have done an email sign up before, I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart, because we are horrible about our email updates. We have reasons, namely life and a family and an incredible amount of work that we're doing. So hopefully you'll see some of the work that we're doing today. But we finally have enough staff in our U.S. office to actually be able to give us administrative support. So we're going on 5 years where we've been staff for the Ugandan Water Project. And in July, we finally got to the point where we could get some support. So I have somebody who will be holding me accountable to actually getting those emails out. So please trust that this will actually be productive this time. We would like to show you a little video before we say any more, though. I think this is the part that we call a silent film.
One day I was in the office, a certain gentleman came in and he introduced himself that he was coming from the Ugandan Water Project. I thought he was a con man. A week after, they called me and they told me that they were going to give us a tank.
Are you able to start it back at the
school? They installed it at the school. After getting this tank, now the school has safe water and we have a bunch. Madam Ruth Semfka, the head teacher and director, His Grace Infant Primary School. We used to have a small tank at the school, but it used to cost a lot because we would fill it at least 3 times in a term. Kids used to come to school with small bottles containing water. They didn't boil that water. And I had to report it to hospital every now and then with at least 2 cases. Daily, and that bill was on the school. One day I was in the office. A certain gentleman came in and introduced himself that he was coming from the Ugandan Water Project. I thought he was a con man. A week after, they called me and they told me that they were going to give us a tank. And indeed, they did it. They installed it at the school. After getting this tank, now the school has safe water and we have abundant water. The Ugandan Water Project donated us with filters, which filters are assisting us to get safe water for the kids. And these kids are no longer getting sick. The enrollment has increased from 200 pupils to 302 pupils in a period of 6 months. Since we no longer buy water from outside, we have saved a lot of money, which money we have used in gardening, whereby we have cultivated beans, maize, which has helped us to feed the kids for the whole of this term. We have saved some food, which is going to assist us during term 3. Thanks, Ugandan Water Project.
So the teacher, Madame Ruth from His Grace Infant Primary School, is just one representative of one of our 580-something communities that we work in. I think this week we'll be installing project number 584. That's a lot of people. There are 302 pupils, and that video was done almost a year ago. And I'm sure her enrollment has increased. Multiply that times 500. In 84. Collins and I have this incredible privilege of getting to work with thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of communities. And we get to see stories like that. Before I launch into too much more, Manny, if you could pull up the slideshow, I want to, because you guys are home and you've heard us talk about UWP for so many years, we wanted to be able to show you not just talk about like the work that we do, the water work, but we want to show you a little bit of our lives and what that means for all of you, because we don't get to do this without the support of everybody sitting in these seats. Many people haven't seen our house because we don't show it. If you're on social media, we don't show our house or the boundaries of our building for security purposes. But this is our little home. This picture was taken a couple of years ago. So right now, all of our palm trees are significantly bigger. It's a little bit more lush and green. We also have many more vehicles now. This was at a time of only one vehicle, and now there's a lot more. And so there's just never this open view anymore. This house over here to the side with the yellow in the front, that's our personal family home. And then this side is where we host the UWP offices, and it's our team house. So when you decide to come visit us, so when Judy gets her passport, because she's going to apply for it next week, and when God answers all of the prayers to clear the way for Judy and Mike to come visit us, and whoever else is going to travel with them, that's where you'll stay. And that's our dog, Sheba, sitting in the front there. She's much bigger now. She was a puppy then. And inside we have bedrooms that are set up in a dormitory style, and we have an open-air dining area. It's beautiful when the weather is fine. When it rains, we kind of go, is it going to blow over? And sometimes we end up in a downpour, and sometimes we move inside. But this is where, when you guys are freezing cold in February, it looks like this. Can you do the next picture? We live approximately 5 miles-ish above the equator. So we actually have to travel 2 hours to get to this photo. Rick Haller, this picture's for you. I hope you're paying attention. but this circle, and these pictures are old, but you can see Corbin and Caleb here. So this line right here is right on the equator. And then that is... the little yellow space back there, somebody was really smart and put their restaurant right on the equator. And so you can eat lunch on the equator. And they do this really cool demonstration. So you know the direction that your toilet swirls? And it just always swirls in the same direction because you're in the northern hemisphere. When you go to the equator right there, they will do a little demonstration for you. And about 10 feet into the northern hemisphere, they have a funnel with water. They pour water into it, stop it, make it still. And then they just pick one of the flower petals from the plant next to it and drop it in. And in the northern hemisphere, it circles around and goes down the hole. You go 10 feet on the southern hemisphere side, do the same thing, drop it in, and it goes counterclockwise and goes down the hole. And then they have one right on the line, and you put it in there, and it just goes. And it's amazing. Think about the power that God has to say, this is the line. And north of it, it turns this way. South of it, it turns this way. That's crazy. That is power. And now that's all the fun stuff. Moving on. That is the extent of fun in our lives. It's not truly the extent of fun in our lives. The truth is, we love what we do. It is hard work, though. So you saw that teacher in that video. Her school, with her 302 pupils, is approximately the size of this building. She does not have electricity. Most of the floors don't even have cement. They're dirt floors. So what's amazing about her, and the reason that we highlighted her school in a video, was because our staff go back every 6 months for 2 years. We go back and we check in on our projects. And our staff came back from that school, and they were like, you will not guess this teacher that we met. She's amazing. The water that she used to spend buying, or the money she used to spend buying water for her students because of the rainwater system, instead of just, you know, just putting that into some other piece of the budget, she took that money and she put it into seedlings, and she planted a garden and she grew beans. And those beans, because schools have to feed the students that come to it, they feed them porridge and a hot lunch. So she grew the beans to actually feed her students. And then she, like, reaped enough savings from that she planted corn. And she was able to take the corn and grind it and turn it into the porridge and the meal that they use. And then she saved the additional savings she ended up taking and buying cement, and she's slowly going through her school cementing one classroom at a time. And let me tell you, when a kid goes to school, like, we walk up to schools and we know the situation, the material poverty at that school based on what the floors are. So sometimes our staff come back and we're like, well, can they do this? And they say, they don't even have cemented floors. And that's where that's a gauge for us. Because when you don't have cemented floors, you just have dust and dirt. And in that dust and dirt, there are fleas. And those fleas get into you, under your skin, and they lay their eggs, and larvae hatch in there. And that is a stigma. There's stigma that goes behind it. If you see that on somebody's feet, you're like, they are dirty. They are poor. They are not good enough. And so in Ugandan Water Project, the basis of everything that we do, we go in and we do water. 500 villages. We've gone in, we put in rainwater systems, we put in wells, we fix wells, we give filtration systems, but that's the face of who we are. And our heart is that God made every single person for a purpose. You have value in God's eyes. That's in Uganda, that's right here in this building. You have value. You were made for a purpose. God knows your name, and He knows who is inside of you, and He made you unique. And for all of you that are young, who here is younger than 20? Awesome. There's a bunch of you. Guess what? God knows you. And God has a reason for your life. And you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll go to college or something. I sat in these seats. I'm from here. And 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I said, God, I don't know why you have me in Uganda. Because there is nothing that I can do here. I see all of these problems. I see people in hurt. I see people in pain. I see people in poverty. I see a corrupt government. There is nothing I can do here. And God said, you can love that person. I'm not pointing at Collins because it wasn't him. You can love that person. And I know the person that was standing in front of me when God said it. God said, you can love him and you can love his 15 friends. It was 16 boys. And within 3 years, God had doubled that number. Because God said, if you love that one, they're going to love somebody. And you're going to get to have a multiplication effect. I was like, okay, God, that's cool. I can do that. I can love one person. 10 years later, I got to hire that very first person that God told me to love. And he works for Uganda Water Project now. And I remember that day because I remember saying, I can never change the government of Uganda to make it something worthy. And that one person that I loved just sat down with government officials and taught them how to collect data so that they know numbers. Yeah, kind of. So that they can report and so that there can be transparency. And a few months ago, Collins and I sat down in a government meeting and we presented our data platform and we encouraged them to become part of it, to adapt it, to say if every organization in Uganda collected information this way, if they marked where their schools were, if they marked where their water sources were, you would know how many people have access to water and you would know how many don't. We know that. We know where our 500 projects are. And we can tell you with a click of a mouse what the status, whether or not that well is broken. And we can give you a report. You need a report of all the work we have done. We can give that to you right now. And that's transparency. And guess what? Most government officials don't like the word transparency. They don't like that challenge. So as I said, you can create reports and that creates freedom and transparency. And then I gulped and I said, Lord, please protect my family. Because it sounds like a conversation. It sounds like data. It sounds like numbers. But it's spiritual warfare in every single bit of that. Because freedom is found in Jesus. So the face of our organization is water. But the reason is because if you have water, you have life. And if you have life, you have the freedom to be everything Jesus made you to be. And there are people who don't get to experience that because of water. A lot of what our organization does, though, is talking about freedom and transformation and reconciliation. Because when God created the earth, he said that it was good. And then sin entered. Sandy and I were just talking about this. Lyme's disease is an effect of sin. Because sin entered the world and darkness and sickness. And that's what we see. That's what we see in material poverty. But also brokenness. Brokenness in our relationships to creation. You know, those mosquitoes bite us and make us sick with stuff. Those ticks bite us and make us sick with stuff. There's brokenness between human beings. Adam and Eve were no longer one unit who operated, you know, in clarity. Like, there was brokenness there. That's why we have arguments in our marriages. And then that's why we don't get along with our neighbors. And then there was brokenness between us and God. And that's why we sit in church on Sunday and we talk about the lost sheep. Like, every song that we were singing during worship this morning, I was like, wow. This is just building for the same thing, that God desires reconciliation with us, and he desires reconciliation. Like, we pray that his kingdom would come on earth, but what does that look like? That looks like us going out and forgiving our neighbor, forgiving that family member that we haven't talked to in 6 years because they hurt our feelings. It means going to our spouse. It means stewarding our land. Collins and I have this incredible, unique opportunity that we get to spur people on to steward the land in Uganda. But that's not just for us, that's for everybody here. And I don't know what that looks like in your life, but that's something for you to think about. And it's important. Like, I'm so excited about what Collins and I get to do because I'm like in my dream job. But that's because I finally have started to see what God made me to be. He made me to be, love that one person. And then God actually made me a facilitator. I get to sit in staff meetings. Who ever thought, you know, when they were 15 years old, oh, I want to facilitate four-hour staff meetings and it's going to be wonderful. That's weird. But that's what I get to do. And it's not because I like four-hour staff meetings. It's because I've been able to sit down with our staff. When Collins and I moved to Uganda, there were 3 part-time staff. We now have a staff of 15 full-time people. That's a bunch of people. That's a bunch of people with a lot of value. That's a lot of people who God made, who have really great creative ideas, who love their own country and their own people. It's a lot of people who never had a voice. And what I love is that God made me to be a facilitator to bring out those voices. I used to say, like, think that, oh, God gave me this ability to be a voice for the voiceless. No, they have a voice. Right now I realize God has put me personally in a place where I get to be the amplifier. I get to be the microphone for them. I have the privilege to come here and get to talk to them, but I have, if you want to know who the best people in the world are, they're on the staff for Ugandan Water Project in Uganda. Our New York staff are great too, but the ones in Uganda are like mind-blowing amazing. Manny, can you put up the next picture? Oh, that's a picture of me teaching in a school, but I don't have time for that one. The guys in the blue overalls are out there in the heat. So it's 75 to 80 degrees every single day when you're 5 miles from the equator. It's beautiful blue skies. Sometimes we have downpours. Sun always comes out. It's very rare to just have a gray, rainy day like today. Our guys go out there in overalls and hard hats. And 75 to 80 feels really nice if you're sipping lemonade in the shade. But when you're in full work gear and you're working really hard with heavy equipment, it's hot. And our guys are out in the sun day in and day out, and they put their hearts into it. This picture of them is of them fixing a well. So this well, I don't know this one in particular, but you know, sometimes they're still working, but the pieces have rusted out. Sometimes they haven't been working for up to 15 years. And for $2,000 and about 5 hours of work and a lot of talking to community members, we can go in and bring life back to that well. So for many years, we went and we fixed the well and we brought the water back and then we left. And we'd go back, our staff would go back and check, and we'd find out the well is still broken. And we had to reevaluate ourselves to say, what is not working out here? Something's not actually connecting. And so we started to evaluate, we started to talk to people, we started to like really look and see like every step of the process. And we realized that we were missing a key piece, and that was that there's no trust between community members. So they're not collecting the money. They're not collecting basically the utility payment each month in order to maintain and fix their own wells. And so we've had to restructure all of our training programs to go in and to challenge the community members to reconcile with each other. And then once they have proven that, by going and getting 30 signatures from community members, and they're not having everybody sitting in church and saying, oh, here, everybody sign this. Like, we're asking them to go around to 30 households and ask them to participate in this. And if they can't do what we've asked them to do, then we can't work with them. If they can't do their part of the deal, we don't get to do our part of the deal. Can you turn the next slide? But eventually, that dirty water comes flying out of there. It's clean. They get fresh water. And there's been a revival. So we don't get to know for sure, is reconciliation real? Is it really healthy? We can go back for 2 years. We can encourage them. But we only get to do our part, and then they have to do the rest. Do you want to go on to the next picture? And it's amazing to see. Oh, my gosh. We get to do such incredibly exciting stuff. This is your work, though, everybody. Like, everything that I'm talking about, because you support us as a church, like, just like the face of the Ugandan Water Project is water, but the heart is the value and the dignity that we are able to bring up in people. Like, Collins and I are the face of this. We get to be there. Collins gets to be on site. Like, this is a place that Collins has traveled to, Collins advocated for. But we only get to be there because of your support for us. So these are your fingerprints on everything that I'm showing you, everything that I'm talking about. This is a completed rainwater system. These pictures, I changed our slideshow this week because these pictures came through this week and they're so powerful that I wanted you to see what happened just this week in Uganda. This is at a school called Mwenje, Muyenje Church of Uganda Primary School. It's, you know, central Uganda, middle of nowhere. Can any good come from Nazareth type of place? You know, like, what's there? There's nothing there. There's not much. They said, we don't have enough money to do our part, because we ask everybody to participate something. We say, there is some value. You have to invest in yourself. There's some value in your community. What is it? And they said, we don't have anything. He said, no, you've got something. Here's our list of our requirements. And it's just a suggested list, but we give them a list of their requirements, not because we can't pay for the stuff, but because we know they need to invest in themselves so that they value themselves. So this particular place, they were like, we don't have anything. We can't afford this. But we need the water. And Collins, or one of our staff members, steps in and says, but really, is there something? Do you have somebody that could cook food for our crew when they're there? And they're like, oh, yeah, we have somebody that could cook food. And do you have something that you could cook? Like, do you have at least the saucepans to cook in? Oh, yeah, we have saucepans to cook in. Okay, well, if you guys could provide somebody to cook and the saucepans to cook in, what about, do you have any sand in the area? Do they have sand? They tried to collect some. Most of the stuff, do you have bricks in, is there anybody that makes bricks in the area that we could buy bricks from? No, nobody makes bricks here. How about stones? And this was a place where there's kind of rocky soil. And Collins challenged them to have everybody in the village bring a rock. Because when we put our tanks on, it's 2,500 gallons. That's over a ton weight of water. So we have to build a legitimate foundation that won't crack, so that that is steady, and so that the water won't leak out, and so that it won't slip off. We want this tank to last for 10 years. So they need to bring rocks to put in a foundation to make a strong foundation. So our crew showed up, and everybody from the village, from the littlest kid to the adults, you know, carrying a rock on their shoulder, coming to invest it in the foundation. And they brought enough because they had it. They had it within themselves. They just didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. And we have the honor and privilege of being able to draw that out of people and to say, what do you actually have? Because you can invest in yourself. They have immense pride in their tank now, because not only did they invest in it, but they put some blood, sweat, and tears into it too. Like, they can look at that and say, don't mess with the cement work on that. I mixed that cement. Don't mess with the cement on that. I carried the stones for that thing. That is my tank. And they'll protect it better. Can you go on to the next slide? Because that's what they used to drink from. Guys, this is not okay. I'm not usually so, like, impassioned about our water sources, but seriously, that is not okay. I don't know why that fence is there, maybe to prevent cows from going in, but you can see cow poop right in the front. Front and center. Big cow pie. And the students from the school were going and walking to this and taking this water, and they'll take it back to the cook at the school, and the cook will boil it to try and kill any germs in it. And then that's what the kids have to drink. So we give out filtration systems. And in the picture previous, you can see our filtration systems there. And we normally recommend that people clean the filter at the end of every day. It took 3 minutes to clog the filter. 3 minutes. So they cleaned it out thinking it was a fluke, put more through, and 3 minutes later it was clogged. It's insane. This is one of the dirtiest sources we've ever seen. Unfortunately, a step up from this is not much better. So then they were making porridge, and Collins was showing me the pictures when they came back, because he was just like, I can't believe this. The porridge should be a milky white color, like cream of wheat. It looked like pumpkin pie, because it's brown. It's not okay. And we're super excited, because this school that was, you know, receive this tank. We gave them a tank in August, and we had some American team, a short-term team, visiting us, and they saw the need, and one of them happened to overhear Colin saying, like, oh, the school's big enough, it could actually support 2 tanks. And he was like, wait, could they use 2 tanks? And Colin says, like, well, look at how many kids are here, and look at how much water this is. It's not an, like, even if they only saved it for drinking water, it's barely enough to serve the need of all of the people at this school. Because there are hundreds of kids there. There's 300 kids, I think, at that school. So this team advocated and requested, and they actually raised the funds to put a second tank at that school. And our guys looked at the situation, our crew members looked at the situation and said, let's put it on the back building here so that's right next to the kitchen area. And by kitchen, it's a cook, like stones on the ground, you know, a campfire that you set a pan on. But isn't that amazing? We get to be part of that transformation. And I was explaining to somebody the other day, like I showed him these pictures, and I said, we get to do that every day, every single day. And it's amazing because there's transformation in that. We get to see those lives change. We get to see the teacher Grace from, or teacher Ruth from His Grace, you know, getting to turn her community around simply by being willing to invest in it. Because the more that students come to her school, the more the education rates change. And because they're going to that school where the teachers are investing in them, like truly investing and saying, we're better than we thought. Like there's more to us because God made us. The more that those kids will grow up knowing like, I have a place in this world. I have value. Because material poverty stinks. But worse than that is the poverty in our hearts that says that we're not worth anything. And Jesus says that we're worth His life. What is that? From our family. That means we get on a plane in 3 days. And we say goodbye to this home. To go to the place that we're actually homesick for. And to dive back into this. But we don't get to do it without you. And we only get to do it because of your support for us. Your support means that we get to have meat and vegetables on our table so that we have health. And it means that when I got malaria in June, I got to go to a doctor that actually could treat me and I got to have really good medicine. And then when Namara got malaria, we also got to go to a doctor because we had the resources to do it. But like in that video, the teacher said that she was taking kids to school or to the clinic because they were sick. And that changed when they actually had access to water at school. That means that they weren't having access, they don't have access to water at home because the only clean water they can get is at school. That's mind-blowing to me. I do this every day and it's mind-blowing to me. But Collins and I only get the honor and privilege of being the face of Richville Christian Fellowship because you guys are the heart of who we are. So thank you for standing with us. When you come to church and you put money in a tithes and offering plate, as Rusty, you know, prays over that and Rusty and Bennett walk around, there's a portion of that that goes to a missions fund and a portion of the missions fund comes to our family. So even if you don't realize it, like you are part of what we get to do. And those of you who support us individually, thank you. Like, I mean, these are tears of gratefulness that I have because I feel so blessed and honored that God said, love one person. And 10 years later, I get to see, you know, a bigger picture I never would have guessed. And we're getting ready to go back and we're having the government officials call us now. We're not having to go to them. Seriously, in the space of 6 months from us going to them, they're calling us and asking us, how do we do this? And it's only going to get harder. Like, it's exciting, but in my heart, I know it's only going to get harder. Because a few months ago, God gave me a picture, and He gave me this picture right when we moved to Uganda 5 years ago, and He gave it to me in June again. And it's a spear, and the tip of the spear was light. And it's scary, because I know I've been through it before, and I know what it means. It means that we're going into a really dark place. And our weapon that we need is a sharp point of light because light pushes away darkness. But darkness does not like to be pushed away. It tries to overwhelm and it tries to snuff out. So please stand with us, contend with us in prayer because we need you to. I don't know if we have time for question and answers. Maybe just like two or three. If anybody has a question on what we do or what daily life is kind of like, we can try and answer a few things. Yeah, she asked, is the government of Uganda willing to help? Yes and no. They don't have resources to help. And they're excited that we have resources, namely financial resources.
Thanks. I do think that the government has resources, but they put them in how do we stay in power. The president of Uganda has been in power for 30 plus years and is like, how do I stay in power? So we have so much. Like, Uganda is a very rich country, and I think like they're running cameras, you know, digging trenches for cameras, and every time I look, you know, they're spending billions to dig, you know, to run the cable so that, you know, there's cameras in places. And I'm like, why don't you run the, you know, water pipes? So that at least, you know, run the water pipes alongside the cable. I'm like, what? You want to be seeing people die or suffer? So they have money, but they want to just keep, how do we stay in power? So they're buying, you know, more weapon stuff. They're buying, so anyway, they're now willing to help with the basic need. And, you know, they just want to, yeah. So that's, I think that's my
answer. But they're now willing to have us help. And they're acknowledging, like our organization in particular, they're acknowledging that we're honest. And that we're, you know, in that video it said something about a con man. She thought our coworker going in was a con man. Every single day our staff are being accused of, or just assumed, they're not being accused, they're assumed to be liars and con men and political, I don't know, political troublemakers. So that's a major, like, that's actually a huge theme for us right now, is to be encouraging our staff to go in the face of that, to be countercultural and to go in. And it's hard. Go spend the next, you know, this next week, every day, go talk to somebody about Jesus and how wonderful he is. And you're going to get exhausted. And you're going to face a lot of opposition. And our staff do that every single day. But we've come to a point, because our staff are faithful and because we pour into them and because we sit in our staff devotions and we talk about who they are in Christ, they go in and time after time after time, we're having people come to us and say, there's something different about your company. You know, we thought it was the one person, but then the next person came and they were really nice too, and they actually cared about us. And then the next one came and your whole crew came and they didn't ask us for money. They didn't tell us that we had to do something. Like, they didn't try and con us. And it's like, well, no, because they do love you and they do care about you. And we pay a decent wage. And we expect reports back. Like, you know, we have systems and processes so that there's clarity. And while the government doesn't like that themselves, they sure do like it in us. And so we're just saying, Lord, let us, you know, let us be the light, let us pave the way. So Paula's asking if I can explain how to buy a filtration system for a family. In one of the pictures was our filtration system, and some of you have seen our demonstration here where we had the clear bucket, 5-gallon bucket, and we put a bunch of dirt in it, and then it comes out clean. We haven't done that demo in many years, but we give out a filtration system. It's a small household size point of use filter. And in addition to all of our rainwater systems and fixing the wells, we've been working for the past 2 years in a Muslim majority community very strategically, partly to be able to analyze ourselves. Well, that was the primary reason. And then it turned out that it was a Muslim community. But we've also been going, in this particular area, going household by household and offering a filtration system for their homes, like actually getting inside, bringing water inside the house, more or less. It's much harder than you would think it would be, but that's partly because we say, in order for us to give you a filter, you have to prove to us you have somewhere to put it. You have to show us your stand for it. Because everything we do, you have to show the investment in yourself. But yes, what Paul is referring to, for those filtration systems cost $75, and we can put it in a household situation or offer it to a household family. And so like $75 funds the filter, the container it goes on, the training, and then follow-up services to make sure that they actually know how to use it. So for 3 months on those filter systems in the houses, we go back and ask a series of questions just to make sure it's working and to see if health is improving in the household. And so far, we've had 100% success in our household's filtration program. But it's a very slow-moving program. But everything we do relies on donor funding, too. So, like, projects that get funded is what pushes our staff to be able to do stuff. One last question, maybe? If there is one. I don't think it's a bottleneck. So my brother and I were having a conversation the other day, and he said, "Why aren't you more vulnerable about the hard parts of what your family goes through?" I was like, "Because that stinks. Why would, like, stand up in front of a bunch of people and tell them all of your doubts and your fears and all of the times you haven't trusted God?" Because afterwards, it's easier afterwards to look back and say, "Oh, now I can see that God was there." But when you're in the midst of some of those times, even though it's not truth, you still ask yourself, "God, where the heck are you?" And it's really hard to share that when you're in the, "Hello, God, did you forget that we are here? We exist too?" Like, because you don't see where God is in those moments. So, like, I'm going to think on that. And I don't think it's a small thing. I don't think it's a bottleneck. In fact, I think there's a huge wall of dark out there that our spirit is heading towards. And I don't know where it's pointed, because only God knows that part. I just know that we are that spearhead. We're going into something that we don't know. And we have worked, like, we have gone through that sort of thing where we're going into something we don't know. I know what that situation was before. We're not going into that same situation. But we're going into something where it is weighty and it is heavy. And we are not welcome at first, but we get to explode and bring this huge thing of light, and that's exciting. So there's that part of me that's like, "Wow, God, we get to be doing this for you." But then there's that part that's like, it's hard. And so we need you. We need prayers. I'm going to tell my brother that I was vulnerable.
So would you want to pray for you guys and your family? Do you want your kiddos to sit around you or sit on your laps? That would be great. So two things. I do want to ask the church family to gather around them, pray for them. If you have something on your heart, you know, the simple gift of prophecy isn't like predicting the future. It's basically to exhort, to edify, and to comfort is what Paul. So it doesn't need to, you don't have to speak Elizabethan English. You know, you don't have to change your tone of voice. It's just something on your heart that encourages people. And I just want to, the teacher in me wants to just say something. So what Tim said, you know,
is interesting, because even the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, he everywhere he went, he kept having this prophetic word, trouble awaits you. Trouble awaits you. Matter of fact, and this guy Agabus comes and ties up his hands, and the guy who owns this belt, he's going to be taken away to where he doesn't want to go. Basically, Paul, everywhere he went, trouble awaits you, trouble awaits you, trouble awaits you, trouble awaits you. And so Paul's friends interpreted that prophetic word as, so Paul, stop, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul's like, whoa, what do you mean stop? I'm ready to not only suffer, I'm ready to die for the sake of the gospel. So the prophetic word was accurate that trouble did await him, but even an accurate prophetic sense has to be interpreted accurately. So Paul didn't conclude, oh, then I'm not supposed to go. He knew he was supposed to go, even though trouble awaited him. So I just am going to pray that God would give you wisdom on all these dreams, these visions, as the Lord's leading you. You're going to need continued insight on how to proceed. Bob, you have something you want to share?
Yeah, I want to. We're definitely going to pray for you guys. But as we are worshiping the Lord, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I know you guys do the water thing and all that, but I was clueless about a lot of these details you just shared. So what I'm about ready to share to you, I want to tell you that I really didn't know a lot or the stuff with the government or anything like that, just as a run-up to what I'm about to say. But as we were worshiping the Lord, I had a picture and just came to me in my mind, and it was a platform, and it was this really nice platform. I mean, it was like sharp platform, really good, and it was this, a platform for a speaker. And I didn't see the speaker. I just saw this great platform. And I'm just sensing, like, there needs to be a speaker up there. And I felt like what the Lord was saying was, as you were sharing, I felt this in the worship, but I feel I got more clarity to the word as you just were sharing, and I wanted to share some additional things with it. But I felt like God has helped you put together a wonderful platform. And the what is going to happen now, a lot of the focus has been on building the platform. And you guys have been really faithful at building a great platform. And now what God is doing, God is moving into a new phase where now there's going to be more speaking going with the platform. Because the platform was actually created for speaking. And it was created to be really awesome so people could look at it and listen to the speaker, because it's got all the sound systems, everything's right, it's up there nice and high where everybody can see it. And so I wanted to encourage you to be bold in the Lord. I wanted to read a scripture, and then I also had a thought as you were sharing. I felt like, just really felt this prophetically, like there's a next step for you guys in this ministry. But let me just share this scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul says this, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come to you proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I just wanted to encourage you that, especially you, as you go before these government authorities, to be bold about your faith, to really make that front and center and say, you know what's different, and really make it clear to them. It really is Jesus Christ, and it's being in right relationship with him, and you need to come to the cross, and you need to repent. You need to repent on behalf of this nation, and you need to repent and get right with God, because that is what is going to transform this country. That's what's going to help this nation. That's what's going to really help the people, is when you repent and get right with Jesus Christ. That's how this thing works. It doesn't work any other way. And so I really felt like I want to pray for you for boldness, because I'll tell you, I'm just, as I'm saying this, I'm feeling scared for you. You know what I mean? And I'm going, oh God. And then I remembered that scripture, and Paul was scared too. And so being scared and being fearful is just means you're human. You know what I'm saying? But you go forth and you speak it in spite of the fear. You just go, I'm going to speak this message because it's the message from the Lord. And I have one other thing to go with it, but were you trying to take this? Yes, go ahead.
This is like you're speaking like to the situation that I just received an email. It's from East African Waters, and they are inviting like all the ministry that deals with water and all the organizations that are in the water sector, and it's more for East Africa, which is Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Burundi. And I'm going to be a panelist. Like, I'm up there, and I'm already like terrified. I'm like, am I supposed to go, or am I? I'm on the platform. So, but we haven't really decided. Like, should I go? Like, I have to talk to the rest of the staff. And, you know, it's in November, which is going to be the time that we'll be back in Uganda. So when you said that, I'm like, maybe it's a confirmation that I really have to go, because it's an opportunity. We'll be out of Uganda, but we'll be, you know, be able to rub shoulders with those ministers and, you know, big people. But here I am, I'm, you know, and doctors and professors, and I'm just the Alnaitwa Collins who just knows nothing except God.
Yes, amen. You know what you need to know. You know Christ and Him crucified, right? Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And the other thing too, as you were sharing, I really felt this in my heart, like there's a phase two for the ministry. And when you were talking about reconciliation and encouraging reconciliation, you're moving in the right direction with this. Because I think what phase two, and you're saying, I wonder how they're doing with this. What I see in phase two is I see teachers going in to instruct the people how to be reconciled. You following up with instruction, how does this work? And then bringing the gospel and saying, this is really how you can have heart reconciliation. And this will impact way more than just the water. And so you're having people go in and bring the message of the gospel, follow up with the message of the gospel. And you could say, listen, you could, I don't know, I mean, you pray and get God's strategy, but I could see something to the effect of, you know, you saying, listen, you're going to sign these, we need 30 signatures, and we need you to attend this meeting. And then someone comes and shares how to be reconciled and shares the message of the gospel, how to be reconciled with God and how to be reconciled with their fellow man. And really Matthew 18, which and how to forgive and how to work through reconciliation issues and continue to forgive. And I wanted to say also that God is not going to waste anything that you've been through. He's going to use it all, because you had to walk through this forgiveness thing. And so you've got something to impart because of that. And that's how it is. And then 2 Corinthians 1 talks about that. We go through sorrows and we go through trials in order that we might be able to have compassion, and we have something to give with the comfort that we've received, we're able to give that out. And so God's going to use everything you've been through, and you're walking through this forgiveness thing and having to say, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to put this behind me, and I'm going to move forward in Christ, and I'm going to leave that person in God's hands. You've got a message. You're going to be part of that message also, of reconciliation. But I just see people going in and bringing the message of reconciliation into these communities that need that, so they can continue to work together. But really, it's going to be transformative in far more profound ways. I just see that happening in the spirit as you were talking. So I wanted to encourage you with that. Let's pray.
We're going to pray. And yeah, Paul, you had something you wanted to share. Should we do it in the umbrella of prayer, or was it better?
So I did share this with these guys, but when it happened to me, I felt like it was something I wanted to share publicly. So a friend of mine, Lori Ferguson, who's a Christian and a writer, she actually posted this after this happened to me, but she said, whenever you cry really deeply and emotionally, pay attention to it. Well, anyway, I had a young girl was at my house. She's, not a believer. She's about 16 years old. And I was scrolling through my gallery of pictures to show her a picture of Richard. And I saw their picture, and I stopped. And I said, oh, these are my friends. And I started to tell this girl about their work. And I literally started weeping. And I couldn't, like, speak. And I was a little bit embarrassed because it went on for a long time. And she was just sitting there, like, who are they? And I'm like, I can't speak. Because I was, like, so proud of them. And it was so, like, deep. And it just, I felt so proud to, like, know you. And this whole, like, Matthew study and the Sermon on the Mount, I just think you guys are just living it, and I'm really just glad to be connected in any way. So,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, wow. Just dovetailing off of what Paula said, it is an absolute honor, Lord, to count this family as ours. Lord, we are their home church. We're their sending church. They're not just here to connect with us as they do with other fellowships, to let them know what's happening because they're partnering with them financially, which is a wonderful thing. But they're here because we are their home. We're their people. And we are so proud of you guys. I just wanted to share a scripture that was on my heart all week. And during worship, I felt like the Lord's like, it's been on your heart all week because it's for this family. It's for Jess and Collins. And it's Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Another translation, the New Living Translation, says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And I felt like the Lord just wanted me to share two things based on that scripture. One, God wants to calm all your fears. He wants to bring peace to all of the fears that you have, for all the situations that you face. He wants to remind you this morning that he's the mighty Savior, not you guys, not even the actual water, but it's him. The water is a tool, and it's so necessary, but it's a tool. He's the mighty Savior, and he's the one who's going to save. He's the mighty one. And then the other thought I had about this scripture, and the Lord's like, it's for them for this as well, is for Jess and Collins, the Lord talks about this scripture where he rejoices over us with singing, just because we're his. And I just want to put even the Ugandan Water Project aside and just talk to the two of you and your family apart from this ministry. God rejoices over you because you're his. And I feel like the Lord wants you to go back with that reminder that you don't have his approval and his acceptance because you're doing all these wonderful things. You don't have to strive to earn those things. We're proud of you, and the Lord is so blessed for the work you do, but he's not rejoicing over you because of that work. He's rejoicing over you because you're his. So the Lord's like, the scripture that's been on your heart all week is for them to take back. My son and daughter-in-law posted a picture, and I referenced this scripture. She's 4 months old, and she's just literally laying on the floor, and they have the camera over her, and she's just laying there, you know. She's a lot of work. She's a little baby. They don't get sleep and all this stuff. And they're over her just saying, I love you. I love you. You're beautiful. You're so cute. They're just ooing and gooing over her, over this little baby that's just laying there. And I felt like the Lord wants you to know that's how he looks at the two of you. Not because you get the water, but because you're his. You're his daughter, your prince, his princess, and you're his son. So I just want you to remember that as you go back.
Father, I want to give thanks that they're homesick. I'm really happy about that. And, you know, there's so much that I've been thinking, but I'm going to be short. I love the rain. I'm one of these people, when it rains, I'm not all bent out of shape. I just, it gives me a sense of security. And, you know, without rain, without water, we're all done. So send the rain, first of all. We pray for the rain. We need the water in Uganda. They need the water to keep going. No droughts, Lord. Also, in the same way that there was this multiplication when Jess poured into the one child, all these things they're doing, we pray for the same kind of multiplication. The water systems, the access to government, that kind of multiplication, and I think that's enough on your plate to realize that maybe your project is going to build the government in Uganda, because you can't have government if you don't have water. There is no such thing. And they're not laying water pipes. Well, yeah, they need to look to the people that are putting water in their country. And so we have to kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight. And so give them courage, because they're going to need it. Lord, give them courage. Give them wisdom. And we thank you for them.
This word was given for me, but I also believe it's for them. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall see them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. And the thing that I desire to see taken away from you is your fear. Your fear of remembering what's happened in the past and the struggles, and that you would know that the Lord goes before you to prepare the way for you. He is guarding your left and your right and your front and your rear. He is your God. He will keep you. He will protect your house. And Father, I pray for courage and even boldness in the heart against the enemy for these two and for this house, every child, God, that you would just teach them, Lord, you, only you can do this. Teach them to know you, God. And Father, I pray that you would display your power through them, that you would display the authority, not that it is in them, but it is your authority that you give them against the enemy. Father, I pray that the evidence of this would become that they will not fear, and that they will hear your word and believe it and go forward in the truth of it, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And if you do have feelings of fear, just remember Paul. Say, it's okay. God's with me. I can get, it's right. I don't have to live under that. That's the thing, when those emotions rise up and they come periodically, we can just we can put them to rest because the Lord's with us. And we go, you know what, it's all right. This just means I'm human, but the Lord's with me. It's okay. Thank you, Father. And I just felt, too, I just wanted to share this, and then I want to pray for you. But just, again, just a strategy as I was thinking about this a little bit. You guys wait and do whatever you feel you need to do. I mean, just, you know, throw it out if you need to. But I just felt something in the area of this reconciliation thing and sending out teams for reconciliation to teach on reconciliation. I felt it's going to be really important. Just as you worked hard to build this platform with the water, you want to be really careful how you build this platform for these reconciliation teams. And it might be that there might be some short-term involvement with some of that. Maybe some people coming in, there's some equipping going on, perhaps some instruction or teaching. It might be a way to utilize some short-term teams, perhaps. Maybe they do it, I don't know if they do it directly or if they train people or they, you know, just how to reconcile. But I can see that sort of thing. Just give that little sense of caution, like the same care that you've taken to build the platform for the water, and that's given you this platform to get the gospel out. You know, show that same care in putting together this reconciliation work and team. But, Father, we just want to pray. Oh, go ahead. You got a word?
Sure. So, I just felt to pray this after listening to all this. I just want to pray this prayer over you. Lord, I just pray that, Father God, you would help Collins to stay himself, stay chill, stay full of joy, Lord. And when you open the door for him, he wouldn't hesitate to walk in and just continue to be himself and be magnetic and be a giver of life. And I feel like you're going to become a governor official yourself. That door is going to open. It's going to open. It's going to happen. I'm saying it. It's going to happen. I believe that's what God wants to do. If I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I think you're going to be a government official in Uganda. And you're going to be magnetic. You know, stay chill. Stay who you are. You're easy to be around. You're easy to talk to. You're easy to approach. And that should never go away. I don't think it ever will. And God's favor is on you.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good word, and that's a gift from the Lord. And we remember, you know, what do we have? I just think of that scripture in 1 Corinthians 4, where it says, "What do you have that you didn't receive?" That's how we keep ourselves in the humility and the grace of God. Is we just remember that everything we've got has come from the Lord. Just right down to our DNA. I mean, that's God chose where we'd be born, when we'd be born, to whom we'd be born. He chose our education. You know, he's had so many other people and situations were involved in our education and so many things that we have no control over. That's just, and including our gifts. I mean, this is all comes from God. And so what do you have that you didn't receive? And so just always never forget that. And it's like, this is all comes from the Lord. It's as simple as that, and it is just a radical truth. Paul said, we're just stewards of the grace of God. We've been given an obligation. Paul didn't choose himself to be an apostle. God chose him to be an apostle. And Paul said, I'm just a steward. I'm just trying to do and be faithful to what God told me to do. That's it. That's what I'm called to do, is to be faithful. And that's what you're called to do, is just be faithful to whatever the Lord gives you to do. And Father, we just thank you for our brother and sister, and we just pray for a spirit of boldness to come over them. Just boldness, and I just agree with that authority, that they have been given authority by you. You said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go forth and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And Father, I just pray you'd always remember him, remind Collins and Jess as well, Lord, that if they're tempted to say, who am I to speak to these people? Who am I to say? They would realize, wait a minute, all authority has been given to Jesus, and he gave me a command to go and to make disciples and to teach and to teach them to obey and observe everything that he commanded. I have that authority from Jesus himself. That's who I am. I've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus himself, and that's why I have authority. That's why I can speak with authority. That's why I can speak with confidence, because my God is with me always, even to the ends of the earth and even to the ends of the age. And Father, we just pray for just boldness, just tremendous boldness, tremendous grace, and tremendous wisdom. Just cause an increase in all of these things, Father, in their life. Just increase that, impart that, cause that to grow in each of their lives, Father. And just use them powerfully to advance your kingdom and your purposes in that nation and in the nations around there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We love you guys a lot. So, Jude, you wanted to give it to him after? All right, so I appreciate everybody sticking around, and we love you guys a lot. And you have other stuff you want to share with them, please feel free to do that. Stay connected with them via emails and all of that. Justin Collins, we love you. We love your family. God bless you guys. Thanks for staying around.